Our first reading is Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and then 19 to 29. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Verse 19, open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the triumphant entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany of the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anybody asks you, why are you doing this? Tell them the Lord needs it and will send it back there shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied to a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they'd cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple, but since he looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ the Word. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, in Anglican churches, the time of Lent is supposed to be quite somber. That's, for example, reflected in the readings, which often touch on topics of repentance and lament, like we had for the last few weeks. That's also the case normally with the liturgy. It's a bit quieter, and we avoid acclamations of praise. For example, it's a tradition to leave out the Gloria during Lent, possibly to highlight the sorrow within God at the death of Jesus. Every mention of the word Hallelujah is discouraged. Some of you have probably heard me tell the story of a dean in a New Zealand cathedral. One day in Lent, during Lent, he heard the cathedral choir practice for the Easter service. They were loudly singing that Christ has risen and then added the word Alleluia. The dean stormed out into the choir room and shouted, stop, stop, that word should not be uttered or sung during Lent. So the choir dutifully continued practicing, but instead sang, hymns of joy, then let us sing, fa la 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 la. If that is how somber services during Lent should be, why then towards the end of the Lent, just as we come to Holy Week, are the readings so joyful and we even parade around the church with greenery? Why is the psalm in the lectionary that has so much praise and joy? Well, first of all, it is because of the events so many years ago in Jerusalem, which went so quickly from joy and praise to then, yes, the sharing a meal together, and finally to the agony of the arrest, mistrial, and crucifixion. Now, it wasn't easy to fit that pace, that change, into the church year of an established church. But somehow the church didn't want to miss out on remembering that triumphal entry into Jerusalem, so it remembered the remembrance remained here there, and on the Sunday before the church remembers the death and resurrection of Jesus, they have Palm Sunday where they celebrate again. But the church could have toned down the celebration a bit. After all, we could also have done it with a bit more solemnity. And the psalm could have been a bit more subdued. But it's exactly in the psalm that we see one of the reasons. It ends with the words, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." So that's how the psalm ends, on a note of thanksgiving. While in the church we have another celebration in which thanksgiving is essential. It begins with a great thanksgiving. That is communion, sometimes also called Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. Because during communion we combine giving thanks with remembrance of the death of Jesus. We give thanks for the great love that God has shown to us by becoming human, humbling himself and becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. During communion, we give thanks for God's grace, for giving us even what we do not deserve, for loving us even when we rejected God, for giving Jesus Christ on the cross to give us life. We recall God's great goodness to us in Christ, and therefore we give thanks. We even celebrate our redemption, as we say in one communion liturgy. Well, that sounds all very grand, but if we listen closely to the words, doesn't it sound a bit strange that we celebrate our redemption if it has required such cost? Is that right? Can we be joyful when it has meant that Jesus had to suffer for us? Well, that's the paradox. Nevertheless, if we look at it slightly differently, we might see that thankfulness should be part of our response to Jesus' crucifixion. Yes, it was a terrible event that cost Jesus dearly. And since Jesus and the Father are one, since it was God in human form suffering there on the cross, it cost God dearly. We, as those who follow Jesus, are reconciled to God through the cross. We receive forgiveness through Jesus. That is, we are given a gift, and it is a very costly gift, bought by the suffering of God. If it is such a precious gift, it is indeed right to value it, to give our heartfelt thanks for it. Now, that doesn't mean we diminish the suffering, but rather that we acknowledge Jesus' suffering and giving us hope and freedom. It's entirely appropriate to praise God even at a time when we remember the suffering of Jesus. Now, maybe that praise is not so much an expression of exuberant joy, but more one of profound gratitude. For through Jesus, we were given so much. The church throughout the ages has given thanks for God's action for humanity through Jesus. While often this is done with quite some solemnity, I think it is right to also occasionally join in more expressive praise. By reflecting the praise of the crowds in Jerusalem, we enter into that expectation and praise of old. Now, of course, the crowds in Jerusalem, they did not know that Jesus would bring salvation through dying on the cross. They only knew that the well-known teacher from Galilee had come to Jerusalem, and some no doubt hoped that he would proclaim openly that he was the Messiah and that he would now establish his kingdom, the kingdom of God. they probably didn't expect that Jesus would do this in the way that he did. Still, it was the way that God freed his people from sin and evil and brought forgiveness and hope. The kingdom of God, after all, was established in a sense there on the cross. Now, that praise of God is connected to God's salvation for us is also clear from the shouts of the crowd there in Jerusalem. Now, I hope you remember, what did they shout? The same word that we sang. Hosanna. Hosanna. This was an expression of praise during the time of Jesus. But it actually means, its original meaning is, save us, please. So, in the Old Testament, the expression in that form only appears once, namely in Psalm 118, the psalm which we read today. And there it says, O Lord, save us. Adonai Hoshiana. So, O Lord, save us. O Lord, make us prosper. And over time, this plea for salvation became part of joyful songs and exclamations. The word Hosanna comes from the same root as the name Jesus in Hebrew. I know the two words, Hosanna and Jesus, do not look similar or sound similar in English, but trust me, in Hebrew they do. Or, well, they do more because there are actually three consonants and two of them in English we express as vowels. So they both have to do with God's saving us. So from the plea for salvation comes the expectant exclamation that God saves us. And so at the time of the entrance to Jerusalem, that is answered by Jesus, the one who saves. So when we consider God's love for us in Jesus, a love so strong that he would even suffer for us, die for us, and endure the separation within God, then praise and thanksgiving are an appropriate response for those who have found salvation and forgiveness in Jesus. So the question for us today is, how do we express our gratefulness for God's love and all that Jesus has done for us?